Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, we know the Cavaliers were eliminated. That was rough. Wasn't this a wildly entertaining NBA postseason?
It was excellent.
It was really good.
It was excellent on both sides, both the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference side, between the Game 7, between Oklahoma City and Denver in there as well. That Knicks series against Indy was a lot of fun. Like, there was a lot of good basketball.
It really was. And I give the NBA credit because I just thought it was wildly entertaining. And we're in a situation now, and you can debate the pros and cons of this, that it does not appear that there's, you know, any dynasty currently. We might be on the cusp of one. And Oklahoma City could become that kind of a team. But there are a lot of teams capable of making a deep run in the NBA playoffs. And I think dynasties are often really good for a sport. The idea of things being wide open and very competitive, at least this year, certainly led to some really, really entertaining playoff basketball.
Parity is a wonderful thing for a league as well, because parity means...
Yeah, that's Dan Menigan, by the way.
Parity means that when the season starts, 20 teams think they have a shot. 25 teams think that they have a shot. Like, that's a great place to be if you're the league. And that's where you kind of want to be. It's part of the reason why Adam Silver is talking expansion, and you're hearing those conversations going on all over the place, is because there's enough talent in the league that you can have a conversation about 25 teams having a shot next year if things break their way, and especially if you play in the Eastern Conference.
I would agree with that. We had a very young Oklahoma City team. And Dan, I think that is good for the NBA. You know, we certainly enjoyed it here. We had a long run with LeBron being front and center in deep playoff runs. A lot of Golden State Warriors stuff. A lot of Boston Celtics stuff. Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong with any of that.
The Lakers, I mean,
good
forever.
For them. Yeah, the Lakers forever. And many of it with LeBron. But I think we're starting to see a little bit of a shift. And not just in talent, but maybe in the way that teams are constructed. And that to me is interesting. I think Indiana is less constructed like the typical formula that's usually been successful. Oklahoma City might be more typical because they're built around a guy who has become a superstar player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, another guy who's on his way to being really good. I mean, if you're going to make a comparison like this, if Shai is Michael Jordan, then Jalen Williams, at least one of the Jalen Williams, is clearly Scottie Pippen. And Chet Holmgren is better than any center. I mean, he might be Tony Kukoc plus, you know, and that's a really interesting threesome. And by the way, they're great in that commercial when they're all wearing that silly royal blue jacket.
That's pretty funny, yeah. That's a good call.
That's more typical, you know, where you have the star player. But Indiana built a comp- a complete team that, that came at you as a unit more than most NBA playoff teams do.
They were, Indy was so good about going, okay, Domantas Sabonis is a really nice player. He makes us better, but we can get more for Domantas Sabonis than we could for Miles Turner. Because like Miles Turner is where this whole thing starts. And that guy has been on the trade block for 10 years.
Yeah, I was going to say at least 5 years.
Since the minute he got drafted, it seemed like Miles Turner was on the trade block. And they traded Sabonis. They brought in Halliburton. They then made the trade for Siakam, where they gave up the third round picks as well. They made the sneaky move of talking to Boston about Nesmith, who was sitting on the end of that bench because Boston had way too much talent. They went and drafted Nembhard. Ben Mathurin was a second-round pick. Like, this team is another one that was cultivated and built. It was just done in a way where Indiana never tore it down because that's not how the Pacers operate. They don't believe in tearing it down to the studs and rebuilding it. They believe in just a perpetual retool. And that by retool, they can stumble into a core like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mathurin was a first-round pick, by the way.
Okay. So one of them was a second-round pick. Was it Nesmith then?
Yes.
Okay.
Sixth overall pick for Mathurin, who I thought might take over yesterday when Halliburton went out, and he had a good game. But see, that's, you know, if you're looking at the Cavs, and we're gonna look more deeply into the Cavs in the noon hour, but that's the type of guy that, you know, they can bring off the bench with Indiana that I don't know that the Cavs can bring off the bench. You know, Ty Jerome did that this year, but Mathurin can be a guy who could be a real hammer for them.
When it's back to your whole thing, what, Mathurin is 6'6"?
He's 6'6".
Yeah, that's back to your thing.
Yeah, it's a reality. Mm-hmm. It's the reality.
It helps.
If you look around with what happened in the finals, and folks, I'd love your thoughts on this. Did you enjoy the finals? Did you think it was entertaining? Did you like the basketball? Did it set some new trends for the NBA? 216-474-0092. I do think this finals can have some impact on the league because teams copy like crazy. That happens all the time. Not maybe like the NFL, but teams copy like crazy. Couple of things. More up-tempo, Dano. The speed of the Indiana Pacers was evident throughout the entire playoffs. They get the ball, and they did it in the regular season as well. They get the ball across half court. They get into their offense more quickly. And they pass the ball more per possession than most teams. That was cool to watch. It was fun to watch. And that's something that I think is easy to copy. Hey, let's pick up the tempo a little bit. Let's get that ball. Let's get the offense initiated. Get the defense a little off guard. Then let's move the ball like crazy and get open shots. In other words, really basic basketball. Really basic.
There was a great piece on The Ringer a couple days ago where they sat down and talked to Mike D'Antoni about this indie team.
Yeah, the type of basketball that he coached for years. Yeah.
Coached for years with the Phoenix Suns, the Houston Rockets, the New York Knicks for a little bit as well, and his whole philosophy of 6 seconds or less.
Denver,
and by that philosophy, 6 seconds or less was we need the best shot that we can get in any possession is within 6 seconds of the shot clock. That was always their philosophy in Phoenix. So they would run the ball up the floor, and they would try to find the open shot within the first 6 seconds of the shot clock.
And if you didn't find one, then you move the ball like crazy.
Move the ball like crazy and figured it out. And so it's so funny that this indie team came around to that general idea and a concept. But it makes sense because, again, one of the things that Indy had was a true point guard. Tyrese Halliburton was a true old-school point guard.
Yeah.
Where he was going to find his shot, yes, no doubt, but he was going to set everybody else up, and he was going to set that offense up too. And he did that so well, and by pushing tempo, and by keeping people on their toes, and by doing, you know, the poking and prodding that he would do, were almost like what put guys on the yo-yo, where they would have to go up and down and up and down because he was just kind of sliding all the time. Such a talented, fun team to watch, and I would love to see more teams copy that because it's just a fun brand of basketball to watch. The hardest thing that would come out of it with the indie side of it is finding the true point guard anymore.
And you can make the argument that, you know, some guys are point guards, some guys aren't point guards. Think about Magic Johnson. And I know we're talking incredible Hall of Famer here and great talent. If Magic wanted to, he could have scored 30 points a game.
Absolutely.
But he didn't want to. He had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He had James Worthy. He had Byron Scott. He had Kurt Rambis. He had players that needed the basketball. And, I mean, how do you not get the ball to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Of course you do. So Magic did. You know, and that's the type, and I'm not saying Tyrese Halliburton is Magic, but that's the type of point guard philosophy that I've loved. And I was not a Magic Johnson fan. I was not a Laker fan. That's why I wasn't a Magic fan. But I loved the way he played the game. And you don't have to score 25 points as a point guard. You don't have to do it. And it's better if you have options so that you don't have to. And I think Indiana did. Halliburton took advantage of it, and they took him all the way to Game 7 of the NBA Finals.
Andre Miller had an unbelievably long career by the fact that he could set guys up with the best of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you watched it here in Cleveland for a good period of time, then I think he
led the league in assists 1 year.
He played all of 12 years after he left Cleveland as well, just setting guys up.
Not moving very quickly.
No.
And he didn't move very quickly when he got into the league.
Just knowing how to play basketball and knowing how to set people up and all that stuff. And I hope that becomes one of those takeaways that you're talking about from this series, that other teams go and look around college basketball and look around the G League and go, where is my true point guard? In fact, I look at this Cavs team and think to myself, I wonder what a true point guard would look like on this Cavs team.
I mentioned last week you weren't in the one day. Somebody called and we were talking about the Cavs and blah, 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 blah. And they were talking about, you know, Darius and Donovan, and we're going to get more extensively into that. And I said, here's what we're talking about. Imagine a guy like Tyrese Halliburton playing point with Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell. Imagine that. And that's what you're talking about here. And because there's so many guys in the league who can go out and score 23 points a game if you get them the ball. Guys who can go out and, you know, average 19 a game if you get them the ball, if you set them up. And that's why I think a true point guard could help so many teams. And maybe that is something that comes out of this series.
Well, and you saw what happened when Halliburton went down and McConnell took over, which is McConnell was looking for his shot. He was playing iso ball. And all of a sudden, those Siakam back cuts all of a sudden got clogged up.
You know what,
and
though?
Those open shots were not there for Nembhard, and they had to work to get Nesmith open. Like, it, without that true point guard, that gravity was gone.
The one thing about it, though, and I have to give, I'm not going to say McConnell went iso. Oklahoma City's defense was so good.
Smothering. Limbs everywhere.
They were so good last night.
I mean, it blew me away how it was just limbs everywhere. Like, it looked like some kind of like the science fiction monster with four arms that were just like everybody playing defense for Oklahoma City had four arms instead of two. Like, it just was insane how good that defense was.
And McConnell ended up salvaging the third quarter, but that's when Oklahoma City really pulled away.
Correct.
And they just came out and really played some really good defense. The other thing about this series, what might change in the NBA, and we've seen a proliferation of big scoring games in the NBA and scoring averages of teams going way up, Dan, and you're seeing 120-point games and, you know, with regularity. Oklahoma City was a really good defensive team in the regular season. And I wonder, and they did it with two bigs a lot of time, Isaiah Hartenstein and, of course, Chet Holmgren. And I wonder, does that lead to a little more of a big man defense emphasis? And if it does, there's one team that's already set up for that, and that team plays about a mile down the road here.
Well, let me take a half step back from what you said in the beginning, which is the idea of that sweltering defense. And it was there the whole regular season as well. I wonder,
exactly.
I wonder if some of what you saw there was also a benefit of playing the same team seven times, where there's really, you have made every adjustment to the adjustment off of that other adjustment. Like, you know what the other team is going to do. Everybody knows everything. There's nothing left in the playbook that is going to open anything else up. And I wonder if some of that sweltering defense falls under that. Do you see it that way, or... Do you think that Oklahoma City, nah, man, it's just limbs and athleticism and good luck to you?
And scheme. I mean, you don't play good defense by accident. You have to want to play good defense in the NBA. The Thunder did, and it won them an NBA championship, among other reasons. How else could what happened in the finals change the NBA a little bit moving forward? How are teams going to tweak? More thoughts coming up. 216-474-0092. It's Baskin and Phelps. Dan is in for Andy today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Andy's out today, Dan Menigan, along with Jeff Phelps, that's me, and we're talking NBA Finals right now. My buddy Jeff in Cleveland sent me a text off of what we were just talking about, and he said, you know, Steph Curry's not a true point guard other than Halliburton, who's a true point guard who looks to pass first. And that's kind of the point we were making, Jeff. There aren't a ton of them, and I responded to Jeff. I said, Suggs in Orlando.
Yeah, that's a good one.
James Harden at this point of his career, but he still scores points. Cade Cunningham looks to pass first, I think, and still scores. And I said, these guys still score, but they look to pass. Maybe that becomes a trend. And that's our point on this. And Jeff wrote back and he said, are you sure they look to pass first? And I said, that's the point, is that Halliburton certainly seems to look to pass first. More so than maybe, Dan, any guy playing in the NBA right now at the point guard spot.
You're going to throw something at me when I throw this name into that same category.
Go.
Get a blunt object. Ben Simmons looks to pass first.
Well, Ben can't score.
Because he won't score.
Yeah.
But he does look to pass first.
Well, absolutely. But Jeff said, you know, like Magic Johnson, like John Stockton, like Gary Payton.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what we're talking about, Jeff. Maybe the league tries to cultivate more guys who have that mentality. Could Magic score the basketball? Absolutely. Could John Stockton? You bet. Gary Payton? Sure. And maybe the success of Indiana takes the NBA back to that kind of a thought process.
The question is going to become, is that guy still out there, or are we 3 years away from people becoming true point guards again?
Yeah.
Because it's gone so far the other direction of your, you know, scoring guards.
Well, Trae Young led the league in assists this year. I don't know if people understand that. Trae Young did, 11.6, but he looks to score.
Yeah.
So, you know, he combined it, but is he a true point guard? No, he's kind of a scoring guard and passes like crazy, but he's a point guard. You know what I mean? It's a weird thing, and that's why maybe you have a trend that starts where guys look to score first. Halliburton was third in the league in assists. He averaged 18.6 points a game. Well, you can still score a lot of points and look to pass first.
Oh, gosh.
And I wonder if that happens. A couple of other things from the finals that maybe come into play here with some of the stuff that's going on. I wonder this, Dano. And I mentioned this last week. Though Shai Gilgeous-Alexander can shoot the three, he's got a great mid-range game. And the mid-range is a shot that has been analyticked out of the game.
In the regular season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs, it's a different animal.
Well, and it was weird that it was, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting. And I wonder, does the mid-range become more of something again? I don't know.
I'd love to see it. It'd be great to see elbow jumpers come back and all of that kind of stuff. The question you're going to run into is, can you shoot them at a clip? If and you could do the basic math to figure it out. I mean, three's worth more than two. We're all very well aware of such things. But you have to shoot, essentially, if you shoot 40% from three, it's the equivalent of shooting 60% from two. So that tells you right there in an overall point value. It tells you right there why guys are taking as many threes as they are. So you need to find guys who can shoot 60% from two if you're going to justify it to the analytics department.
Here's something that might be a bigger impact on this. According to NBA.com, at the beginning of the season, and things adjusted during the year, the Oklahoma City Thunder at the beginning of the season was the youngest team in the NBA.
Amazing.
were the youngest team in the NBA, and 9 of their 18 guys under the age of 25.
Amazing.
That's scary. And for years we have seen, and Houston just did it. Hey, you got to bring in the veteran because they're blah, 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 blah. They just traded for 36, soon to be 37-year-old Kevin Durant and gave up a young, talented guy who hasn't completely clicked yet in Jalen Green, but he's a good player, and the 10th overall pick in the draft, along with Dylan Brooks, and then a bunch of second-round picks that are just used for trade bait for teams. I wonder, with the apron talk and the salaries, and you're paying superstar players 30 plus, 40 million, $50 million. Oklahoma City's not.
Yet.
Exactly. And that's the point. Perhaps they try and thread that needle, NBA teams do. Hey, we're going to go young. We're going to get a lot of young guys, and we're going to play the heck out of them before we have to play them and hope that this works. And go more team concept, which is what they did around one guy who's become a superstar player, obviously the league MVP. But I wonder if teams start, we're good on paying that 38-year-old guy $45 million. Thank you. That's okay. We don't need those kind of players anymore. We're going to go with the young guys and work and play more team ball.
There will always be exceptions to every rule, and I think LeBron James and Kevin Durant will be those exceptions.
Those are weird exceptions, yeah. Aren't they?
But you can maybe throw Chris Paul in there too. That those will be the exceptions to every single rule, where it's like these guys are so good and take such good care of themselves that we're willing to make an exception. I wonder if you're right. The problem is they're going to have to pay him anyway. It's my biggest complaint with this current CBA, and Oklahoma City is going to be one of them. I believe Chet Holmgren is eligible for a rookie max extension that's going to really skyrocket his salary. You're going to have to pay SGA. You're going to have to pay Lou Dort at some point, and give him more than what he's already getting. Or find another Lou Dort. The problem that I have with this current CBA and the second apron setup and all these things and the mess that the Cavs find themselves in wraps right into this is that you are penalizing teams for drafting and developing and succeeding in drafting and developing. All of a sudden, your successes are now becoming penalties. We are no longer in this realm where your initial idea, which was to stop Golden State, to stop Matt Ishbia and the Phoenix Suns from just going, here's a blank check. I don't care what the luxury tax is. Yeah. I'll go find more money. I don't care. Golden State was the same exact way. Yeah, we'll pay the luxury tax. Why? We've got this beautiful building. We'll have a monster truck relay. That'll solve these problems. Boom, here you go. Here's more money. You're now starting to penalize teams who are able to draft, develop, and sign their own players, which should be the successes of this league, and now it's becoming a detriment. That's what, to me, the NBA needs to figure out before the next CBA negotiation. Sorry to take you on that tangent off to the side there, but that continues to tick me off.
It was very basket of you.
Thank you.
It's... I look at the salaries that are being paid in the league, and I just think that it's not sustainable, is it? Perhaps it is. But I just wonder if, you know, these two teams, and certainly Indiana, a lot of guys, you know, making a lot of money. Oklahoma City guys make a lot of money. But I wonder, do those two teams change the way that the league kind of approaches things from a team standpoint and trying to avoid the extremely, you know, the extremely high paid veteran who may or may not have, you know, I won't say game, but certainly upside. You know, Houston's going all in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're
chips
gonna,
in the middle of the table right now.
They're going to try and win the whole thing. That, you don't bring in a 37-year-old guy thinking, okay, this is going to be a good 3 or 4 year plan.
Eighth all time in scoring. I mean, Kevin Durant's unbelievable. He could fill it up, and Houston needed someone who could score points, and they went and got arguably one of the best ever at scoring points, and he's going to do that. The question is how long is, you know, how is that body going to hold up at 37 years old, and how many games are they going to play him for, or is it just going to be, okay, we're going to coast? Well, I don't know if you can coast in the West. I mean, the West is
The West is loaded.
Yeah. The West is such a gauntlet. The Durant thing is fascinating. That is just a fascinating move.
Well, it is. And, you know, Phoenix had a lot of talent, and they weren't able to make it work, and now they're collecting shooting guards. So there's more to happen there. Bradley Beal, Bradley's owed a lot of money. The word is either trade or buyout. Can you imagine buying out Bradley Beal and that guy becomes a free agent and he walks away with, because he's owed like $110 million for the next 2 years.
Would you want him?
No.
Me neither.
This team doesn't need Bradley Beal, the Cavs. They have their own version in Donovan Mitchell.
I don't even know it's that. I don't even know what Bradley Beal has left in the tank.
Well,
he's perpetually injured.
Yeah, he was beat up.
Yeah, he just and is see, perpetually
and
hurt.
And that's where that thought comes back again, Dan. You're going to go young guys, not pay them the huge Bradley Beal contracts? It's almost as if in some instances, not all, but in some of these instances, these guys on those big contracts, second contract, third contracts, man, how can you're really tying up your team on a guy who might be injury prone or has had injury history and is making so much money you can't do other things, you're going to have to get him to play like crazy. The other thing we've seen, though, the Cavs played a lot of guys in the regular season. They got to the postseason, they weren't going to play as many guys, and they were injured. You could make the argument that Indiana didn't play a ton of guys. They didn't go deep. Oklahoma City didn't play that many guys, certainly in the postseason. Wonder if you try and get your money's worth out of your starters and play the bejeebers out of them.
Well, what have we always heard? Was it 15 guys get you there, 8 guys win it?
Well, it's about the way it is.
Yeah, 15 guys get you there, 8 guys win it.
Maybe 10 guys get you there.
Okay, 10 guys get you there.
5 guys help in practice.
7 guys win it. I mean, that's we have seen that time and time and time again. You watched it with the Cavaliers when they won the title. And they were in title contention.
Yeah.
10 guys would get you there. 7 guys would help you win it. There were only a certain amount of guys that you trust. You saw it in OKC. They played a boatload of their guys. The bigger Jalen Williams didn't even touch the floor.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was one of their better players during the regular season. They put him out there. He couldn't hang. They got him out. Thomas Bryant, who Cavaliers fan watched do, you know, hit shots and be a nuisance and all that stuff, he hardly touched the floor in the finals. It's that evolution into what you need to be to win the finals and being able to play both right-handed and left-handed that causes you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to have those adjustments off of the adjustments and the way to do it and the intelligence to make those work and the guys to buy in to do it too. It all plays into itself. You have to be able to win multiple ways.
And again, does that start to permeate through the NBA if it hasn't already? I just think combine, you know, the different salary aprons with the incredible dollars, with real injuries to guys.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we're on the cusp of a little different looking NBA. I don't think it's going to be anything, you know, outrageously drastic. But I think Oklahoma City has shown you don't need an overly experienced team. You got an incredibly young team. You had the youngest team in the NBA at the beginning of the season and you win the whole thing. That might be an eye-opener to teams around the NBA. Indiana plays a bunch of guys, and they play as a unit more than most teams. That might be an eye-opener. And we'll see what it does to teams around the NBA and maybe a team in particular here in Cleveland. We're going to get into the Cavs coming up in the noon hour. Scott Petrak covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram, brownzone.com. He's going to join us next right here on Baskin and Phelps. What the Shedeur Sanders off-the-field situation do for the quarterback? Scott will have some thoughts on that coming up.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave Butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.